We're going to turn our attention now to the COP27 conference that took place this month. And Adele Sulkus writes in the Daily Maverick today that it took 26 years and COP26 summits before food systems had appeared on the agenda. And even though it did appear on the agenda this year, it was sadly sidelined and really a non discussion. I'm delighted to say that Adele joins us on the line now to talk about this. Good afternoon, Adele. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Amy.
So it took all these years to finally get food systems onto the agenda, and then it was a bit of an anticlimax, wasn't it?
Well, yes and no. It was an anticlimax, certainly as far as the food systems activists were concerned, because they had hoped that the final deal coming out of COP27 would be a lot stronger on the need to transform food systems. The good thing is that agriculture was on the agenda at COP27 for the first time ever. The disappointing thing is that the deal that was reached didn't go far enough in terms of what the people who really recognize the seriousness of the situation would have wanted.
Adele, I think let's just take a step back. And can you elaborate for our listeners, please, what we mean when we talk about food systems?
Yeah, so we are talking about basically everything it takes to grow, produce, process, distribute, transport, market food. So that is everything from animals to plants. And it also includes food waste, how we dispose of our food, whether that's, you know, somewhere along the supply chain or food that we throw away as individual households. So, you know, there are 8 billion of us at the moment. There are going to be 10 billion humans on the planet by 2050, and that amounts to a lot of food. And everything that happens in food systems contributes about one third of all greenhouse gas emissions on the planet. So it's massive.
Sure, that really is huge. And aside from agriculture, where are some of the other sort of problems that are contributing to this?
Do you mean within the food system
space? Yes, yeah.
So agriculture is really the hugest in that methane is the gas that is really the most potent in terms of global heating. And methane comes principally from livestock production. Mm. So, you know, the people who are the experts in this say that methane is really the biggest problem in our food system because it is 80 times better at trapping heat in the atmosphere than carbon over a 20-year lifespan. So it has a much more powerful effect on global heating, and it contributes, it's responsible for about half of the rise in global temperatures that we have seen so far since the pre-industrial era. So, you know, it's a big lever, and it comes from livestock within agriculture and then also from fossil fuel production. Mining of fossil fuels and processing of fossil fuels. And when you combine those two, you know, those are two elements of the agriculture system that that are essential to keeping those things in production. So that's really the focus of where we need to look to adapt and mitigate, as they say.
And Adele, can you tell us about some of the initiatives that were discussed to mitigate this?
Yeah, so, you know, COP27 is, well, all the COPs every year are the annual UN climate change conference. So there are a lot of kind of high-level initiatives that come out that don't really translate into very concrete impact.
Yeah.
But I'm going to mention three of them because they are important in that they are the beginning of a kind of conversation that hasn't happened before at this global level. And that conversation is about getting all countries to recognize the interconnections between food systems and climate and nutrition. And baked into that are also the connections with energy, right? Because we can't produce anything, whether it's in food systems or any other sector, without energy. Mm. So there are three kind of big initiatives. One is called the Initiative on Climate Action and Nutrition, which is trying to integrate climate and nutrition programs in a way that actually makes both of them work better and faster. Okay. And this is a collaboration between a whole bunch of UN agencies, including the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization. And what they are trying to do, which incredibly doesn't yet exist, is to get countries to build into their climate action plans how they are going to cut emissions in their food systems. So those climate action plans are known in the jargon as the nationally determined contributions. And that's where countries say in fuel, in the energy sector, for example, I'm going to cut in this space. And in the nutrition sector, I'm going to cut in that space. It's the nutrition piece that hasn't yet happened and that their work, that this initiative is going to work on. Then there's something else called the Food and Agriculture for Sustainable Transformation, FAST initiative. Mm-hmm. This is about funding to make agriculture and food systems more climate friendly by 2030. And then there's something that's an older initiative, it's 4 years old, called the Coronivia initiative, which looks at the interrelated topics in farming specifically of soils, water, livestock, how you assess your adaptation readiness and the food security aspects of climate change in agriculture. But the thing that I'd like to get to is a fourth initiative, which actually isn't any of these kind of high-level talk shops, and that is that 50 more countries at COP27 signed something called the Global Methane Pledge. Mm-hmm. So that means that in total, more than 150 countries have signed it. And what the pledge is relates directly to concrete actions around livestock farming in particular and fossil fuel processing. And these countries are committing to cut their methane emissions by one third or by at least 30% from 2020 level by 2030. And if this happens, this could cut 0.2 degrees Celsius of warming by 2050. It doesn't sound like a lot, but actually it's huge.
It is. And in your opinion, is it a realistic target?
It's a realistic target. What is less realistic is the way that this is happening, because it's what's known as a voluntary pledge by each of these countries. Mm. So there's no enforcement. There's nobody really who's going to monitor that. You know, the UN is going to rely on countries' own reporting about what they've done. So it really needs, you know, concerted efforts and global goodwill by all countries involved to make this happen.
Yeah, and let's hope that they all stick to those pledges. It's one thing to say that you'll do something when you're sitting at COP26 in Sharm el-Sheikh, but another thing to follow through with it, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And that is the issue, particularly in the food system space, because there is so little global level regulation, if you like, about it. They aren't really standards yet by which any countries are going to be held to these kinds of promises.
Mm. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. I've got about five more questions for you, Adele, but we'll have to do them another day. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Adele Sulkas, writer for Daily Maverick's Food Justice Project.